This is John Walden. We're completing today our studies in the book of Colossians, and we're beginning with the 12th verse of chapter 4 now to read on to the end of the book. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluted you. One of you means that he lived there at Colossae. He was now in prison with the Apostle Paul in the Mamertine prison in Rome when he was writing this letter. But he was a gospel preacher who lived in the town of Colossae and who was concerned about other Christians round about also. He was the one who had carried the gospel to them. According to the first chapter, he says, as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Well, this man was the man who had carried the gospel to them originally, and now he is in prison for the sake of the Lord Jesus. Now, what is he doing while he's in prison? Well, he says he is laboring in the present tense. Laboring in prison? What can you do in prison? Can't preach. There isn't much you can do there, is there? But he says he is laboring fervently for you in prayer. Now we saw in verse 2 that we ought to continue in prayer and watch for the same in thanksgiving, and Paul asked prayer for himself and those with him in verse 3. So now he says, here is a man who is the exemplification of this. Here is a man who is showing how this works out in daily life. Here is a man who is laboring, and this is a very strong word, and fervently is also a very strong word. It means at the point of agony. He was a man who really was working at this business of praying for his fellow Christians. Now, what was he praying for? That they might have better jobs and more money and better homes and better health? No, no. He was praying that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Now, it was said already that we are complete in him. That was in chapter 2. The Lord Jesus is the embodiment of all the fullness of the Godhead, and you are complete in him. So our completeness in him as position is already settled, but we need practical completeness, and this is what he's praying for here. He's praying that they might be full-grown Christians. The word perfect here means mature. That you might be full-grown Christians, and that you might have this practical completeness in all the will of God, that you might be everything that God wants you to be. Now, this was the prayer of this man. Wasn't this a good prayer? And he says, I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. Colossae and Laodicea and Hierapolis were three cities in proconsular Asia. You can look them up on your map. You have a map in the back of your Bible, and you will see that they lay just a few miles from each other. They formed a triangle, and this man, Epaphras, evidently labored for the Lord in all of these three places. So, if you like alliterations, let me give you three words that start with the same letter. He was a preacher, and then he was a prisoner, and then he was a prayer. He was praying for these people. And this is a good recommendation for any person. All of us ought to be this, not just those who have some special call to full-time service, but all of us ought to be spreading the word of God. We all ought to be suffering for Christ whenever there is opportunity, and we all ought to be spending our time as much as we can of it in prayer for one another. Now, in verse 14, we have another man mentioned who is often mentioned favorably in the New Testament, Luke, the beloved physician, the one whom the Spirit of God used to write the third epistle that bears his name, and also the Acts of the Apostles came from his pen. And Luke was one who traveled with the Apostle Paul in some of his journeys, and at the very last, when Paul is left all alone in Rome, he says, only Luke is with me. So Luke stayed with him to the very last, no doubt to attend him in his physical needs, because Luke was a physician. It's quite possible that Luke was a slave of Theophilus. Anyway, he addresses his Gospel and the Acts, both of them, to most excellent Theophilus. How wonderful that the Lord would allow this doctor, who is a beloved person to the Apostle Paul, to attend him in the closing days of his life in the Roman prison. But in the same verse with this man is another man about whom we can't say so much nice. We can't say very many nice things about him, and this is Demas. Now, Demas is only mentioned here as sending salutations or greetings. But in the last epistle to Timothy, we're told, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. What a sad thing this is. A man who is going on well for the Lord up to a certain point and took his place among the Lord's servants and the Lord's people, and yet at the last he forsakes the Apostle Paul because he loves this present world. I'd like to ask you who are Christians, is the love for this present world crowding out your love for the world to come? Let's be awfully careful that we don't get a love for this present world into our hearts. This can spoil our usefulness. Then he says, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea. And Laodicea was the neighboring city, as I mentioned a little bit ago. The Laodiceans evidently were rich people. It was a very wealthy city. But this was their downfall, because later on the Apostle John writes a letter to them in the third chapter of Revelation, and there he says to the Philippians, to the Laodiceans, he says, you are rich and increased with goods, and you don't seem to have a need of anything. But he said, the truth of the matter is, you're poor and wretched and miserable and blind and naked. Now he said, I counsel of you to buy of me gold tried in the fire. So while these Christians were able to send greetings at this time, and he could send greetings to them, yet these people were not going on as well for the Lord as they ought, and they soon began to slip away. But with them he mentions Nymphas and the church which is in his house. Now we don't know anything more about Nymphas. All we know is that the Christians that met with him were apparently going on well for the Lord, and they were saluted. Now he says, when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Now, not the epistle to the Laodiceans, for there is no such epistle as this, but the epistle that would be passed on from them, which would no doubt be the circular letter sent to Ephesus and which bears their name. The epistle to the Ephesians. These were sent at the same time, and they were to be interchanged, and both of them to be read. And while there are a great many similarities between the letters to the Ephesians and to the Colossians, there's still a great deal of difference between the two, and we need them both. So he says, read them. And he says, read them in the church. I'd like to speak a word to those who take the place of preaching in the various churches, and you have a tremendous responsibility, and a responsibility according to this passage to read the Word of God. In writing to Timothy in the first epistle, he says, give attendance to reading, and the word for reading there is public reading. Pay good attention to the public reading of the Word of God. And you have the responsibility of speaking to the people. Remember that you're not to give book reviews and you're not to waste your time with opinions, but give them the Word of God. The sheep that come to you come hungry, and they must be fed the real provender of the Holy Scriptures. Otherwise, you wasted their time and yours. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. We don't know anything more than this, but here is a man who is given a service to do. That's the word ministry. That has nothing to do with an official position as a preacher, simply a job that he was given to do. We don't know whether he was not doing it well or what was the occasion for this, but the warning is, if you're given a job to do, do it. Now, if you're not the Lord, you can't work for him. If you are the Lord, you certainly ought to be glad to work for him. And it ends with a salutation that marks it as being Paul's genuine letter, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul. And as he lifted his hand to sign the pen, no doubt the chains of the Roman dungeon would be clanking from his wrists. And so he says, "Remember my bonds. Grace be with you." Amen. The grace that was offered to them in the very beginning, by which they were saved, the grace that was included in the salutation, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father," continues, and he closes the epistle with, "Grace be to you. Amen." Now we've seen some wonderful things in this book. We've seen that the Lord Jesus Christ is truly God. He is presented to us as the Creator, as God the Son, as the Sustainer of all things, as the Redeemer, and as the Head of the Church. And we're told that we're to look unto Him for everything that we need, for wisdom, for supplies, for completeness, for liberty, for nourishment. Everything has to come from the Lord Jesus Himself. We're told that the knowledge of His grace and the knowledge of His will and the knowledge of God Himself is to be our aim. And learning these things about God, He wants us then to show by our lives that we really know Him. And so He gives us some exhortations at the close of this epistle, which we've been examining, that show us just how He expects us to go on, to live for the Lord, to live out these truths that we have taken in. You see, everything that God teaches us, He teaches us in order that it might affect our lives. When you receive the gospel of the grace of God, it changes you. And when you receive the Word of God, it continues to change you and to make you more like the Lord Jesus. So my prayer is that our study in Colossians may lead you to trust in the Savior and to be more like Him. Our Father, we ask You to bless Thy Word to us. We thank Thee for this time of study we've had in this wonderful book. And we pray that those who are not saved will trust the Lord Jesus soon, and that those who have trusted Him will live for Him. We pray in His name. Amen.